Welcome to the Words of Life with God's servant, Pastor Obed Joy Obin. Get set for a life-transforming word right from the ovens of heaven.
Come on, put those hands together one more time. Celebrate Jesus. Oh, you are doing it better. Come on. You're doing it better. You're doing it better. Hallelujah. Amen and amen and amen and amen. Are there blessed people here? I can excitedly see the family of Auntie Anna, but before they come, I want us to go into the word of God. Amen. Let's do what is important and then we do what is necessary. Hallelujah. Is somebody here with me? There are things that are important and there are things that are necessary. And the most important thing this morning is for us to feed on God's word. Amen. Are you ready for that? Why, are you tired of me already? And you are giving up on me like that? Come on, somebody smile to the word that is about to come. Hallelujah. What a blessing. Amen. We are continuing our series on Sunday by Sunday, the making of disciples. The making of disciples. Remember, throughout this month, our prophetic theme is kingdom addiction. Say kingdom addiction. It is my prayer that by the end of the messages, or by the end of this month, we will be kingdom addicted. We will let Jesus' desire and prayer come to pass. That he said that when you pray, say, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, thy will be done on earth as it is. Let thy kingdom come. The kingdom of God will only come permeating through our lives and saturating the whole world. Hallelujah. And I believe it is important for us to understand that the whole duty of man is to love and to serve the Lord. Amen. And for this reason, we want to look at the making of disciples. Just in a space of 30 seconds, slip your hands and say, Father, speak unto me. I want to hear your word like never before. Let your word come in power. Let your word come in power. Let me be filled with your word. Spirit divine, flow in your soul liberty now. Come on, open your mouth and talk to him. Spirit divine. We give you glory. Hallelujah. We bless your holy name, Jesus. We love you with all our heart, with all our mind, and with all our soul. Holy Spirit, this is the most important part of our service when we have opportunity to hear from you. You are the CEO of the church. You know what is good and right for your people. Therefore, feed us, Holy Spirit. Feed us one more time. Feed us one more time. Feed us one more time. Feed us, Holy Spirit, and we will be fed. Fill our hearts with your love as your word comes to us. Saturate us, Lord, and change our lives. We thank you that your word will be a blessing. Amen. Somebody is blessed. Put your hands one more time. Please take your seat in the presence of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Somebody smile to the word of God. Amen. Amen. That was a powerful ministration from the choir. Let's give it to them. That's so powerful. The making of disciples, part 2a. In Joshua chapter number 24, verse number 14 to 15. Joshua 24, 14 to 15. The Bible says that, Now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seems evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, and the gods of the Amorites, in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, We will serve the Lord. Tell somebody, ask for me and my house. We will serve the Lord. Come on, shout it again. Ask for me and my house. We will serve the Lord. We must understand that service to God is a choice we make. It is a choice. In other words, it comes by decision. We choose to serve God. Just as you can choose to do anything, it is a choice. It's a decision that one makes to serve the Lord. But just to recap of what we studied last week, in the kingdom, it takes a man to serve. Every man that is saved to serve. We are saved to serve. We are saved to serve. And thou shalt say unto Pharaoh, thus saith the Lord, Israel is my son, even my firstborn. And I say unto thee that let my son go, that he may serve me. And if thou refusest to let him go, behold, I will slay thy son, even thy first son. Exodus 4:22-23. So God primarily brought Israel out of Egypt to serve him. We understand that the reason we are saved is to serve the Lord. Praise God. And once we are saved to serve the Lord, it is not automatic that you are saved and you begin to serve. No. But then when you are saved, you make a conscious decision to serve God. That is why Joshua, when the Lord has brought them into the place where they were supposed to go, told them to remind the people of Israel where they have been, the things they have been through, the issues of their life, how God has delivered them out of Egypt and has brought them into the promised land. He told them that, look, it is a decision to serve, because you were saved to serve the Lord. Tell somebody, I am saved to serve the Lord. So the first point is that in the kingdom, a man is saved to serve. And we understood that also real kingdom service is done by disciples of Christ and not just children of God. Real kingdom service is done by disciples of Christ and not children of God. Everybody can be a child of God, but it takes disciples to begin to serve. Praise Jesus, hallelujah. In Luke chapter number 9, verse number 1-6, we saw Jesus called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all devils and to cure diseases. And he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. And he said unto them, take nothing of your journey, neither staff nor crib, neither bread, neither money, neither have 2 coats apiece. And whatsoever house ye enter into, there abide and thence depart. And whosoever will not receive you, when you go out of that city, shake off the very dust from your feet for a testimony against them. And they departed and went through the towns, preaching the gospel and healing everywhere. Hallelujah. So we realize that here Jesus sent disciples, not children. Not those who were part of the kingdom per se, but he sent his disciples. Therefore, it takes disciples to serve. It takes disciples to serve. Disciples are believers who are sendable and never think of gains. Disciples are believers who are sendable and never think of gains, but what they can give by reason of what they have received. I want to come clear. Disciples are believers who are sendable. The question is, are you sendable? As a believer, can God send you? Can God instruct you? Can God ask you to do something on his behalf? Can God give you a message to be given to someone? So there are those who are sendable And they never think of gain. Remember when Jesus sent the disciples, saying that take no thought of what you eat. Don't take any bag with you. Don't take any tonic. Don't take any, even just one sandals. Praise God. Hallelujah. So disciples are people who are sendable and never think of gains. There are many who are in church because of gains. There are many who are serving the Lord because of what? Gains. What they will gain out of it. Praise God. But disciples are those who don't ever think of gains, but they rather think of what they can give by reason of what they have received. What have you received from the Lord? The things you have received is what enables you to give. Praise God. Many are not able to be a blessing to others because they themselves have not availed themselves to receive from the Lord. Hallelujah. And I pray that in this season, God will give us the grace to be able to receive from the Lord. Psalm 22 verse 30 and 31, the Bible says that it shall be counted unto the Lord for a generation. Hallelujah. It shall be counted unto the Lord for a generation. Psalm 22, 30 to 31. They shall come and shall declare his righteousness unto a people that shall be born, that he had done this. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So it is important for us to understand that God is raising a generation of people who shall declare his righteousness unto the people. In other words, the people that God can send and never think of gains and never think of what they will benefit from it, but people who will carry his name, his righteousness unto others. I pray that this year you'll be one of those that are sendable by God. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Proverbs chapter 20 verse 7 says that the just man walketh in his integrity. His children are blessed after him. The just man walketh in integrity, and his children are blessed after him. Praise God. We are called to walk with the message that God has called us. And before we can do that, God does not send his children, but he sent his disciples. Hallelujah. Now, there are some key facts about kingdom service. There are some key important facts about kingdom service that I want to share with you. In this service, there are key facts about kingdom service. So, subtitling key facts about kingdom service. Number one, in Exodus chapter 23, verse 25 to 26. Exodus 23, verse 25 to 26. He said that, and ye shall serve the Lord your God, and he shall bless thy bread and thy water, and that he will take sickness away from the midst of thee, and they shall nothing cast thee a yoke, nor be barren in thy land. The number of thy days, he said, I will fulfill. So the very first fact about kingdom service is that serving God is not a waste of time, but rather an investment into your destiny. Serving God is not a waste of time, but rather an investment into your destiny. Praise God. When you serve God, the Bible says that he bless your bread. He bless your water, and he take away sicknesses and diseases from the midst of thee. Praise God. Serving God is not for naught. When we serve God, we don't waste our time. We are living in a generation where we can do everything with our time, but when it comes to serving God with our time, then we begin to think of it. Then we begin to murmur, we begin to complain, we begin to give all kinds of excuses, as if you've been staying all your life even in the kingdom of God or in a church. Let me put it that way. I mean, we come here, most of you show up and comes here every Sunday. Your longest hours you have actually spent right here in the whole week could be 3 or 4 hours. Praise God. We spend the whole rest of our lives for ourselves doing the things that will benefit us. But then when it comes to time with God, we still want to think that we are wasting it. Praise God. Every service to God is a time invested into our destiny. It is not a time wasted. Say, it is not a time wasted. Because when we serve him, the Bible says that he will fulfill our days. It means your days will not be empty. It means that you will not live an nonentity life. You will not just waste your life or waste your time here on earth. There are many who have lived for many years but wasted their time on earth. Because as a matter of fact, by the time they were dying, they had regretted that they could have made you good use of their time. Many people have regretted while they were in their youth, like you are, they couldn't use their time well to serve the Lord. Praise God. And now that they are weak and they cannot do anything, that is what they feel like they have wasted your time. I pray to somebody that you will not waste your time in serving God. You will not waste your time when you serve God. You will not waste your lifetime. Praise God. By the time you are old and weak and feeble and you cannot do anything, you can still look back and say, yes, I never wasted my time. I served the Lord to the best of my ability. I gave my life to Jesus Christ and I did my best to all. Hallelujah. It was Catherine Coleman who once said that when she one day appears before God and God asks him, what did you do for me? She would tell God that I tried. I tried. I tried. I tried. I did my best for you. Praise God. And I want you to have that same attitude that you would do your best for God whilst you live. Number two, serving God is not a waste of time, but rather an investment into your future. Serving God is not a waste of time, but rather an investment into your future. Psalm number 22, verse number 30 to 31. Psalm 22, verse 30 to 31. A seed shall serve him. It shall be counted to the Lord for a generation. Hallelujah. A seed shall serve him. It means that when you serve the Lord, it is accounted unto the Lord as a generation. In your generation, when you serve God, the repercussion or the consequential effect will come unto your children's children. The Bible says that they shall come and shall declare his righteousness unto the people that shall be born. Hallelujah. That he has done this. When you serve God, it goes beyond your time and it gets into the generation even yet unborn. Whatever you are doing today, you are not only doing for yourself, but you are doing for the generation yet unborn. So serving God is not a waste of time, but rather an investment into your future. What investment, what legacy are you leaving to your children? What would your children be proud of today if you were not here? Would they be proud of the buildings, the cars, the investment, financial investment you made for them? Or they'll be proud that their father served the Lord. Oh, I feel it. Hallelujah. Is somebody here with me? Yeah, they'll be proud that their father served the Lord. For many years, I did not understand my father. As a matter of fact, I mean, he never thought of buying a land. He never thought of building a house. He never thought of doing anything. It's all about kingdom service. He was being transferred from one point, of Ghana to another point of Ghana. It's like our lives were in shambles. I quite remember one of the transfers, it came very abruptly. Whilst we were in the second year when I was in JSS 2, second year, so second term, that transfers are not done. Schools are in the middle of a session. Then my dad was transferred and it almost cost us, because when we got to Accra, no school was ready to take us at that time. Praise God. But I see the glory of God. I see the favor of God. I see God blessing him at this moment. And the blessing that the service that he rendered unto God is bringing us blessings at this moment. His sacrifices, the things he stood for, is what is seeing what we are seeing today. Praise God. He never bought a land, but he will never sleep outside. Hallelujah. So I'm trying to push an agenda that when we serve God, it is a time, or it's not a time wasted, but it's an investment into our future. Praise God. I'm not saying to discourage this, you from getting a land and building. No. When God blesses you, use it appropriately. And one of the best investment is to get land. Is somebody here with me? But I'm not saying that leave kingdom service and go run after material things. When we serve God, God has a way of providing for you. Your amen is weak for me. Hallelujah. What a blessing. Therefore, Proverbs 20 verse 7 says that the just man walketh in his integrity. His children are blessed after him. His children are blessed after him. I pray that you will be blessed after God. I would have failed if my sons are not blessed after me. I would have failed. Praise God. Because the generation of blessed people must continue. Is somebody here with me? In the same way, I want you to leave a legacy for your children and your children's children. I see God making it possible for you. Hallelujah. But we are made to understand that one way by which we serve the Lord is we being a disciple. Is we being a disciple. Last week we gave who a disciple is, and today we want to also give another definition of who a disciple is. Are you ready for me? Are you following me at all? Great. Now, who is a disciple? A disciple is a convert who is established in the basics of the Christian doctrine and capable of raising new converts and discipling them. A disciple is a convert who is established in the basics of Christian doctrine and capable of raising new converts and discipling them. You have been with the Lord for many years. You have been with the Lord for some time. How many people have you brought to church? That is the first question. How many people are you trying to raise to become like you? How many people are you building so that they can be able to stand just as you are standing? Amen. That is who a disciple is. A disciple is somebody who is established with the basic of Christian doctrine. Many of you have been in church for many years, but there are certain things that you lack in knowledge. There are certain basic Christian doctrine and principle that if we are to ask right now, I know it's going to be a problem. Praise God. What is the basis of your salvation? Why do you think you are saved? What made you saved? You ask somebody, where is Jesus? And they'll tell you, some will say he's in heaven. Some will say he's in their heart. Confusion all around. Praise God. But these are basic things that you and I need to know concerning our salvation. And if you don't know such things, how do you then raise somebody or bring somebody? How do you raise somebody to be able to also be like you? So there's a need for us to allow ourselves to be discipled. Amen. Every Sunday by Sunday, we come to church and the Lord teaches us. The Lord leads us. The Lord helps us. The Lord brings our understanding to a certain level. And the things we learn from the altar are things that builds us up and makes us a disciple of God. Praise God. Is somebody here with me? I know many of you, after Sunday service, you go and throw your nose somewhere and you only look for your nose when it's Sunday morning. Am I right or wrong? Some of you pretend to have Bibles on your phone, but you never read them. Am I right or wrong? Yeah. So if we are not allowing ourselves to be discipled, how then can we raise other disciples? A disciple is the convert who is established in the basics of Christian doctrine and is capable of raising what? new converts. I challenge you this year that allow yourself to be discipled. Get to know the things that you are supposed to know in Christ, and thereby help somebody to be lifted and to be raised in Christ, just as you are doing. Put your hands together for the Lord. Hallelujah. Again, a disciple is a follower. A disciple is a follower. Somebody who follows Jesus Christ is the follower of Jesus Christ. A disciple of Jesus Christ is a follower of Jesus Christ. Are you following Christ, or you are following yourself? Are you following Christ, or you are following your passion? Are you following Christ, or you are following people? Are you following Christ, or you are following the man of God? Even as I understand that Paul said that you should follow me as I follow Christ. If the man of God is not following Christ, don't follow him. Is somebody here with me? So we follow Christ through the man of God, when the man of God is also what? Following Christ. Praise Jesus Christ. But our ultimate goal is to follow our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In Matthew 4:19, the Bible says that, and Jesus said unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Hallelujah. So to be a disciple means to be a follower. Say, I want to be a disciple, and I want to be a follower of Christ. And look at verse 20. The Bible says that, and they straight away left their nets and followed him. Straight away. No questioning. No kind of memory. No kind of let me go and come back. No kind of waiting. And straight away they followed him. Praise God. I pray that today you will follow the Lord. Verse number 22. Again, it says that, and they immediately left the ship and their father and followed him. They immediately left their ship, their net, and what did they do? They followed God. Praise God. So discipleship means leaving things and clinging unto God and following after God. It has to cost you. And the cost are the things you leave behind in order to have Christ. There are many things you need to let go. You can't have Christ and have those things at the same time. You either have Christ or you leave them, or you have them and you leave Christ. Praise God. But if you want to be a follower of Christ, then there are things you need to leave. Praise God. And I pray that the Lord, through his word, is reminding you of the things that we need to leave behind in order to follow Christ. Praise God. We have many in the church who have become like Lot's wife. Even though God has spoken, go, I'm about to destroy the city. He said, I take nothing when you are going. But then as they are going, they are still looking back. Many of you are still in Christ, but you are still looking back to the world. The world has become the center of attraction for you. It's like you are attracted so easily to go back into the world. And what happened to Lot's wife? The Bible says she became the pillar of what? Salt. Praise God. In other words, it means that she became something that could no more be useful anymore by God. I pray that may your life not be wasteful, but your whole life become useful. May your life never be wasteful, but may your life be useful. What a blessing. Again, the question is, who is a disciple? The ultimate goal of God for his children is for us to be disciples. Hallelujah. Also, every believer should aim at being a disciple, because disciples are the ones who receive the blessings of the kingdom. Disciples are the ones who receive the blessings of the kingdom. There are some blessings that are for children, but there are some massive breakthroughs that are for disciples. Are you with me? There are things which are for what? Children. And there are massive blessings that are for disciples. Amen. In Luke chapter 22, verse 28 to 30, Jesus made another profound statement. Luke 22, 28 to 30. He said that ye are they which have continued with me in my temptation. He was speaking to the disciples. He said, you have continued with me in my what? Temptation. So the question is this. Disciples are those who continue. They have the continuity, grace, and spirit. Disciples are people with continuity. They continue in whatever they do. Praise God. They continue. If it's about following, they keep following. They keep following. They keep following. It's about reaching people, they keep reaching people. It's about sharing Christ, they keep sharing Christ. Whatever they do, they keep. Jesus said that these are they, Kadabo Shibranda, which have continued in my temptation. Verse 29, and I appoint you to a kingdom as my Father has appointed unto me. Praise God. So who is he giving a kingdom to? To the disciples. So until you become a disciple, you don't even get access to be blessed by the kingdom of God. You don't get access to inheritance. There are many inheritance in the kingdom, and it takes disciples to enjoy such inheritance. Verse number 30 said that ye may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom. Amazing. Wow. Have you ever thought of it? That God is setting a table, and among those who are dining with him is you. All because you are a disciple. So disciples are those that he eats and drink at his table. Praise God. And this is so much loaded, even though it talks about the future of the second coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, when he appears in his glory and when the saints are taken up along with him. The Bible says that those we will sit at his table. Praise God. But you understand that in life, in this present life, sitting at the Lord's table is sharing with fellowship. Sharing with fellowship. Sharing with fellowship, communion, praise God, having an intimacy with God, where God becomes in you and you become in him, praise God, where God takes over every issue that concerns your life. And this is how David talked about. He said that he prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemy. Do you know that the table that God prepares, he sits on? Are you with me? The table God prepares, he sits on, and you will be there. So who is that enemy? Who is that Satan that can fight against you when God is preparing a table before you? I pray that may you receive grace to become a disciple so that you sit with table with God. I see that becoming a reality. Amen. But like we said last week, that the foundation of radical discipleship is one's love for God. You cannot become a disciple until you have a greater love for God. A greater love for God. Your love for God is what determines your discipleship. Praise God. God does not give his best to children, but he gives his best to his disciple. Hallelujah. What a blessing. So in this service, how can one become a disciple? I believe that is a question many of you are waiting for. How can I become a disciple? Because I must be a disciple. I must be a disciple. Number one, you must be called by God. You must be called by God. I told you last week that the disciples, he called 12 disciples together in Luke chapter number 9 verse 1 and 2. Praise God. You must be called. The good news is that every believer is called by God. Say, I am called by God. Come on louder. I am called by God. No matter how you got into this auditorium, you were called by God. Because if he does not call anyone, no one can come to him. That is why you don't have to be intimidated by anybody, because they didn't call you. Are you with me? Shout, I am called by God. In Romans chapter 8, verse number 29 to 30, Romans 8, 29 to 30, say that for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Hallelujah. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. Say, I am called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also what? Glorified. Hallelujah. So you are called, and that is the first point of contact, that God called me. Just as he's called many, so he has called you. And he has called you to become a disciple, not to sit on the fence. He has called you to be a disciple, not to waste your time, but to be useful. What a blessing. Number two, how can one become a disciple? One must be a true servant. One must be a true servant. It takes servants to serve. Matthew chapter 10, verse 25. Matthew 10, 25. It is enough for the disciple that he be as his minister, and a servant as his Lord. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more shall they call them of his household? Amen. One must be a true servant. It takes servanthood to become a disciple. Amen. Number three, we talked about it. One must also consider the cost. To become a disciple, you must consider the cost. You must consider the cost. Again, in Luke chapter 9, verse 57 to 58, and it came to pass that as they went in one way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee wherever thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man had not where to lay his head. Hallelujah. Wow. You must count the cost. You must count the cost. The cost of the things you are leaving behind, to see whether following Christ is worth it. And I know following Christ surpasses all material wealth. In Jesus' name. Luke 9:23 said, and he said unto them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up what? His cross daily. Amen. And follow me. What a blessing. I see you following God. This year, I see you following him with all your heart. Amen. Then, what are the functions of a disciple? What are the functions of a disciple? Number one, he must do the work of an evangelist. Do the work of an evangelist. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us, what? Not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. The desire of God is that all men will come into repentance. In other words, all men must be saved. Praise God. And the one who is called to serve as a disciple must make this his primary goal. And that you must become an evangelist. Praise God. Who is an evangelist? An evangelist is the one making sure that souls are being saved and men are connecting to their maker. Praise God. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3 to 4, Paul
in his admonishment to his son Timothy, said that for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. Hallelujah. The desire of God is that all men will come into the knowledge of the truth. Now, Timothy, who was a servant of God and also a disciple of Paul, Paul was charging him that this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior. Praise God. Who will have all men to be saved. And therefore, do the work of what? An evangelist. In 2 Timothy 4 verse 5, he never missed words again. He said, but watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of what? An evangelist. Make proof of thy ministry. Hallelujah. Do the work of an evangelist. Do the work of an evangelist. So chapter, 1 Timothy, he talked about the fact that the desire is that all men will be saved. And this is good and acceptable. Praise God in the sight of God. Then in the second book of Timothy, he talked about the fact that therefore don't relent. Do the work of an evangelist. Do the work of an evangelist. In other words, I want you to what? Serve God by winning what? Souls. I believe our primary aim on earth as a church, as individuals, is to serve by winning what? Souls. Is to become an evangelist. Hallelujah. Tell somebody, do the work of an evangelist. I'm not feeling you. Say, do the work of an evangelist. Number two, function of a disciple, he raises other disciples. He raises other disciples. Do the work of an evangelist. Number two, the second function of a disciple is that he raises other disciples. John 17, 18 to 19. Jesus in his prayer said that, as thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I sent them into the world. Praise God. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Hallelujah. So a disciple raises other disciples. You make sure that people are being raised after the order of Christ, just as you are also following Christ. Praise God. A disciple is the one who makes sure that new converts are established and they are following Christ by doing the things that Christ wants them to do. And I see you doing that in Jesus' name. Number three, what are the functions of a disciple? Number three, he heals the sick and cast out demons. He heals the sick and cast out demons. Remember Luke chapter 9, when Jesus sent his disciples together, the Bible says he gave them power and authority over all devils and to cure diseases. Hallelujah. And he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. As a disciple, you are being empowered to heal the sick. I said you are being empowered to cast out demons in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, finally, what are the blessings of being a true disciple? What are the blessings? What are the blessings of being a true disciple? Number one, your life becomes like the Lord Jesus Christ. What a blessing it is that your life becomes like that of your Lord Jesus Christ. Amazing. Matthew 10, 24 to 25. Matthew chapter 10, 24 to 25. The disciple is not above his master, nor the servant above his Lord. It is enough for the disciple that he be as his master and a servant as his Lord. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more shall they call them of his house. What? So definitely a disciple becomes like that of what? His master. Praise Jesus. Hallelujah. In Acts chapter 10 verse 38, how God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. And the Bible says that he went about doing good and healing all them that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Say, I will become more like Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name. Number two blessing of being a true disciple. And all that we are doing is not just to serve, Lord, to become what God wants us to be without any benefits. Number two, you walk in perfect health. You walk in perfect health. And one of the popular scriptures is the fact in Proverbs 13, verse number 17, the Bible says that a wicked messenger falleth into mischief, but a faithful ambassador is health. Praise God. As we walk with God faithfully, and as we begin to serve him, we walk in divine health. Divine health becomes our hope, our portion. Praise Jesus Christ. Exodus 23, 25 to 26, we read about it. Say that ye shall serve the Lord your God, and he shall bless your bread and thy water, and will take sicknesses away from the midst of thee. And there shall nothing cast their young, nor be barren in the land. And the number of thy days, I will fulfill. May God make it happen in Jesus' name. So we enjoy perfect health when we become a disciple. I told you how the laborers are few, even though the harvest is plenteous. And God will do anything possible to protect and to keep the few laborers that he has. So once you become a disciple, you become a laborer of God. And as a laborer of God, God will protect and keep you so that you are able to do the work more and do it well. Praise God. I pray that may divine health be your portion as you become a disciple. Now the question this morning is this. Or the counsel I want to show, are you a disciple? Are you serving God in a way that God wants you to serve him? Today I want you to make a decision to be a disciple. Joshua said that, choose ye this day whom ye will serve. God did not call us to come and sit just like we are seated here every Sunday without doing anything for him. He expects us to do more and to serve him. Today it is my prayer that you move on by behaving as a disciple. A disciple has an attitude and has a behavior, and that is to follow Christ, to do the things that Christ did, and his blessings will come upon you. Today I want you to give your life to serve God in his house. In his house. That is the place he has called us to serve. And as you serve him, the glory, the grace, and the favor in this house will be your portion. In Jesus, the blessed name. Somebody is blessed. Come on, be on your feet and give glory to Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Please be on your feet. Raise your hands to the Father. You are praying one simple prayer today. That Father, in the name of Jesus, can I hear you pray after me? Father, in the name of Jesus, give me the grace to be your disciple so that I can serve you acceptably. In the name of Jesus, fill me with your love. In the name of Jesus, open your mouth and begin to pray. Father, give me the grace to be a disciple. Your love, pour out your love within me. Pour out your love within me. Pour out your love within me. Raise your voice and give him praise. You say, It is done. You say, I believe.
Come on, raise it up.
You say, it is done. I believe. You say, you. Oh, it is done.
As we are before the Lord,
it is done.
We trust that you've been blessed with the Word of God. We would like to have you worship with us at Miracle Manor Church, Top High, off Tech Junction Road, behind Love FM. Call us on 0244-991294 or 0209-959090. Miracle Manor Church, manna fed, manna satisfied.